الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم. And welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. My name is Imam Hassan A. Amin, and I will be your host. The Islamic faith may be one of the most misunderstood, and for some people, or for some reason, the most hated faith in the world. Some people believe that all Muslims are nothing but a bunch of terrorists. Islam is the only faith that experiences whenever a person from the faith commits a terrorist act, all members of the faith are to blame and suffers the consequences of likewise being attacked. Please keep in mind that all terrorists are not Muslims and all Muslims are not terrorists. On the other hand, Islam is the second largest religion in the world and the fastest growing religion in the world. There are about 2 billion Muslims in the entire world. Let me give you an example of what I mean. If there are 7 billion people in the entire world, this means that out of every 7 people, 2 of them are Muslim. Many of you who are listening to this program right now may knowingly or unknowingly have Muslims in your families. It is my hope that this program will help you better understand your Muslim relatives or Muslim friends. Islam is perfect faith, or a perfect faith, because Allah says in the Quran, in chapter 5, verse 3, in Quran I'll explain to you later on, Allah says, "This day I have perfected for you your faith and completed my favors upon you, and have approved for you Islam as your religion." Allah said that He had made the faith perfect, not the people. It is my hope that this program becomes your weekly Islamic studies class. We may use terms such as program, episode, or even class interchangeably throughout the coming weeks, but they all mean the same thing referring to this program. I am here to give you some basic Islamic information or some information about Islam and what Muslims are instructed to do or not to do. Furthermore, this program is designed to give our listeners some basic information about the Islamic faith and what Islamic faith is and what the Islamic faith is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about the Islamic faith. I am only here to inform the listeners about the basic tenets, rituals, and rites of the faith. So let's get started. One of the definitions of Islam is an Arabic word meaning submission, surrender, or obedience. Let me give you a perspective from the an Islamic perspective, a prospective of what it stands for. Islam stands for the complete submission and obedience to Allah. It is derived from the word salam, which means peace. Islam is based on 5 pillars. They are to testify that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the servant and last messenger of Allah. Salat is our second pillar, salat or prayer. Our third pillar is zakat or charity. The fourth pillar is fasting during the month of Ramadan. And the fifth pillar is Hajj. Now understand there are volumes of books written about each of these pillars, but we were only going to discuss some basic aspects of each pillar. You have to look at it in terms of what you would call an iceberg. Iceberg at the top, that's surface above the water, is very small, if you will. It's not that big in comparison to all the rest of the mountainous ice underneath the water. So we are only just that tip of the iceberg when it comes to talking about Islam and the five pillars that I'm getting ready to discuss with you now. And below the surface is are volumes and volumes and volumes of book on this particular topic. Now, the first pillar of Islam, which is to testify that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is the final messenger of Allah, this declaration of faith is called Shahada, S-H-A-H-A-D-A-H. Now, I am a former college instructor, Islamic principal, Islamic teacher, and so an imam. And so I may be seem like kind of in a teacher's mode. And so if I say words or spell words for you, it's not that I want to insult anyone that's listening. It's just my teacher in me that I spell out some words and try to further explain some words. So it's not you, it's me. And so a simple formula that all of the people of our faith pronounce, meaning to testify there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This right here particular declaration is a belief that the only purpose of life is to serve and obey Allah. And this is achieved through the teachings and practices of the last prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. Now, who is this Allah that we're talking about? Sometimes I might say Allah, sometimes I might say Almighty God or God or similar. Now, who is Allah? Allah sits alone on the throne of authority. He created all that we see and all that we don't see. There is nothing like Allah. In Quran, the last revelation sent to mankind from Allah, which are the words from Allah to his last messenger, Muhammad, may peace be upon him, was brought to him by Angel Jibril, or they sometimes they call Gabriel. He is the messenger angel that brought the various messages to all the various prophets and messengers that Allah sent to mankind. These words of Allah are compiled in a book form called the Quran. Allah says or describes himself in chapter 2, verse 255. And let me, before I go on, please, since you're going to be in my class, hopefully weekly, every Wednesday from 3 p.m. to 3 p.m. to 3:30 p.m., if you get a chance and you're able to, maybe you get yourself a Quran from one of the local masjids. Masjid is M-A-S-J-I-D. That's the Muslim place of worship. And ask them for a Quran so that you can attend my class. Meaning that, so, and Quran is written in Arabic, but you have it translated into also into English or to other languages for those who are listening on the internet. And so that you can follow along. So when I say something, I'm going to read from chapter 2, verse 255, then you can quickly turn to that page and then you can read along with me. Keeping in mind that the Arabic is what the Quran was revealed in, and then you have sort of loose or rough translation of the Quran. So you may not read exact words that I'm reading in my translation of the Arabic. So let me move on. And it says in chapter 2, verse 255, Allah, there is no God but Him, the living, the eternal. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. To Him belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth. Who can intercede with Him without His permission? He knows what is before them and what is behind them. They cannot gain access to anything out of his knowledge, except what he pleases. His throne is more vast than the heavens and the earth, and guarding of these both does not fatigue him. He is the exalted, the supreme. I want to also mention in another chapter, the 112th chapter of the Quran, and Allah says, He is Allah, the one and only. Allah is self-sufficient, meaning that he is independent of all, while all are dependent on him. He begets not, nor is he begotten, and there is none comparable to him. In other words, Allah does not have any relatives like a son, like a mother, or a wife. And before I move on from this, I want people to keep in mind, because maybe people will become upset with what I'm saying. But keep in mind that that is your faith. That is your belief. Like we have Muslims in the world, Christians in the world, Jewish people in the world, Hindu, we got all kinds of people in the world with all kinds of belief, Baha'i people, Buddhist people. So everyone do not have the same belief. And because someone believes differently than you does not make them your enemy, or you are my enemy. That's just your belief. Because if you all believed in the same way, then it will be just one faith. But it's not like that. This is the belief of the Muslim. And Muslims, we do not make any excuses or apologize for our belief. Again, Allah does not have any relatives like a son, a mother, or a wife. Relatives are mostly identified more with human beings, not with the creator of human beings. Now, the second part of this pillar, which is Muhammad is the servant and last messenger of Allah. Since the beginning of mankind, Allah has sent many prophets and messengers to mankind. They encouraged the people to obey Allah and reminded them that the end will come and they will all meet Allah and answer for what we did while on earth. Some prophets and messengers before Muhammad were Noah, Adam, Moses, Abraham, Lut, or some people call Lot, Job, Jesus, and many more. The very last prophet or messenger is Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him. Many of the prophets and messengers were sent to mankind or sent to a particular area of the world, and they would just preach or talk to the people in that area or a particular group of people. But in the case of Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, he was the only prophet or messenger sent to all of mankind and as a warner and reminder to people to obey Allah and follow his last messenger. In chapter 7 of the Quran, verse 158, it says, O Muhammad, say, O mankind, I am the Rasul, meaning the messenger of Allah, towards all you, from he to whom belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. There is no deity but him. He brings to life and causes death. Therefore, believe in Allah and his Rasul, and the unlettered prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, who believes in Allah and his word, and follow him so that you may be rightly guided. Now following him and whatever he orders us to do, and also follow him in terms of what he asks us to avoid or forbade us to do, and believing in all those matters he informed us about. Now the second Shahada, or the second portion, I'm sorry, of the pillars, or the second pillar of Islam, is Salat, or prayer. Salat is the name for our obligatory prayers that are performed 5 times a day, and are the direct link between the worshiper and God, or Allah. There is no hierarchy, what you call authority in Islam, and there are no priests. Prayers are led by a learned person who knows the Quran and generally chosen by the congregation. Prayers are said at dawn, midday, late afternoon, sunset, and nightfall. Prayer is an important part of the Muslim day. We, to the best of our ability, try to work our day around our prayer and not our prayer around our day. These 5 prescribed prayers contain verses from the Quran, and they are said in Arabic, the language of the revelation, the Quran. Personal supplications, meaning after the prayer, however, can be offered in one's own language at any time. Although it is preferable to pray together in a mosque is, that's the place of where we worship, M-A-S-J-I-D, like Christian worship in the church, and Jewish people worship in the synagogue, Muslims worship in a mosque or masjid. A Muslim may also worship or make his prayers in places such as a field, offices, factory, or in universities. The third pillar of Islam, which is zakat, or alms, or charity giving. This is an important principle of Islam, and that everything, you have to remember that everything belongs to Allah, and that wealth is therefore held by human beings in trust to from Allah, as a trust from Allah. The zakat means both purification and growth. Our possessions are purified by setting aside a portion for those in need and for the society in general. It's like sort of pruning a plant. It's like you cut back and makes it more balanced and encourage it to have new growth. Each Muslim calculates his own or her own zakat individually. An individual may also give as much as he or she pleases in what they call sadaqah, which is charity. You can do it preferably in secret, because it says that your left hand or your right hand should not know what your left hand is doing, your left hand should not know what your right hand is doing. The Prophet, may peace it be upon him, said, Every meeting your brother with a cheerful face is an act of charity. The Prophet also said, charity is a necessity for every Muslim. He was asked, what if he has nothing? The Prophet replied, he should work with his hands for his benefit and then give something out of such earnings in charity. The companions of the Prophet asked, what if he not able to work? The Prophet said, he should help the poor and needy. The companions further asked, what if he cannot do even that? The Prophet said, he should urge others to do good. The companion said, what if he lacks that also? The Prophet said, he should check himself from doing evil. That is also an act of charity. The fourth pillar of Islam is fasting during the entire month of Ramadan. Every year, in the month of Ramadan, all Muslims fast from dawn until sunset, abstaining from food, drink, and sexual relations with their spouses. Those who are sick, elderly, or on a journey, or women who are menstruating, pregnant or nursing, are permitted to break the fast and make up an equal number of days later in the year if they are healthy and able. Children begin to fast from puberty, although many of them start fasting earlier. Although fasting is beneficial and had a beneficial terms of health, it is mainly a method of self-purification and self-restraint. Allah says in Quran, in the second chapter, the 183rd verse, he says, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed to those before you, that you may learn restraint. The final pillar of Islam is Hajj, or pilgrimage to Mecca, and one should do this at least once in their lifetime if they can afford to do so. The pillar, or the pilgrimage to Mecca, meaning Hajj, H-A-J-J, is an obligation only for those who are physically or financially able to do so. Nonetheless, over 2 million Muslims go to Mecca each year from every corner of the globe, providing a unique opportunity for those of different nations to meet one another. The annual Hajj begins in the 12th month of the Islamic calendar, which is a lunar calendar, not a solar calendar, so that Hajj falls sometimes in the summer and sometimes Hajj falls in the winter. Pilgrims, they wear special clothes It's just a simple garment that strips away any distinction that I'm a king, I'm a queen, I'm a president, this kind of thing. Any distinction of class or culture. I'm from this culture, I'm from that culture. My culture is better than yours. My culture is less than yours. This way, when we stand before Allah, we all stand equally before Allah. Because we make the Hajj, we are next to, or making the Hajj next to kings, or also next to people who are relatively poor. Or queens, or people who are relatively poor. And so we all mix together because we all are equal in the sight of Allah. No one is above the other when we talk about making the Hajj. And so I want you to understand that we have these five pillars in Islam, our basic foundation of the basic foundation of Islam. And most things have a foundation, and the foundation and everything else builds upon that foundation, and Islam is no different. These pillars are the foundation of Islam. And as I said before, I am a teacher, so I just want to reiterate that the first pillar of Islam is to testify that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is a servant and last messenger of Allah. And now I hope that I explained to you what this is in as simple details as possible, without saying anything or insulting anyone by making it so basic, that I want to insult anyone. That is not my goal. Also, Salat, meaning prayer that a Muslim prays five times a day. We have the dawn prayer, the midday prayer, the late afternoon prayer, and the prayer at sunset, and also prayer about an hour or so after the sun sets. And also I had mentioned charity, giving a certain portion of our, to purify our possession or the money that we have, and giving a certain portion of our money to the poor, and also to help out society as a whole. And then I had mentioned fasting, which is fasting during the month of Ramadan. A matter of fact, next month, May, it will be our Ramadan will start around May 6th, May 7th, depending on the sighting of the moon. And I will give a couple of my programs. I may talk about Ramadan and what it's all about. So, and maybe folks that are listening to me will get a better understanding of what Ramadan is all about, and the fasting of the Muslims, that we cannot drink anything, we cannot eat anything, we cannot have sexual intercourse with our spouses, and that only occurs while the sun is in the air. Before the sun rises, which I'm going to talk a little bit more about it later on, before the sun rises, we can eat and we can drink and we can have sexual intercourse with our spouses. But once the sun comes up, we cannot do any of those things. But then once the sun goes down, we can do those things, or we can start those things again. We can eat and we can drink, and also we can have sexual intercourse with our spouses. But I will talk again more about that in an upcoming episode or upcoming class. And then, of course, the last one was the Hajj. And I know that you all remember what the Hajj is all about. That's a pilgrimage to Mecca at least once in our lifetime, if we can afford to do so. Allah has blessed me to go on Hajj three times. And I've been to Mecca maybe four times all together. And it's a beautiful sight to see all the Muslims come together from all over the world, and to be there for one purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No other purpose. One year I went, I think we must have had 1 to 1.5 million, might even been 2 million people in one location at one time for the sole purpose of worshiping God, worshiping Allah. And that is such a beautiful sight to see, with all the evil that's going on in the world and people killing each other here and killing each other there for absolutely, sometimes for no reason whatsoever. Ever, and lying to each other and all the other evil that's taking place in the world. It's so beautiful to see that people are there for the sole purpose of worshiping the Creator, worshiping Allah, obeying Allah, and going through the rituals of going around the Kaaba 7 times, and the ritual of going between Safa and Marwa. These are 2 mounts that are part of the Hajj that are inside the Grand Mosque in Mecca, and doing all the other rituals related to the Hajj. Again, this is such a beautiful thing, and the multiple languages and the multiple people and the colors, the various colors of people, and the beautiful and the beauty of people. But I don't want to go on and on about this beautiful event, which is Hajj, that a person can do once in their lifetime. We have some people that they do a Hajj every year, and people should save their money up to make Hajj at least once in their lifetime. People don't have to do that, but some people do it every year. But for us as Muslims, we are asked to do it at least once in our lifetime if we can afford to do so. Are we physically able to do so to make the Hajj? So I hope that you have a better understanding of what Islam is and what Islam is not, and that you or everyone who are listening to the program today, that you will be able to come to class every week. And I also want to emphasize to you to please go and ask someone, go to a neighborhood masjid and ask them to give you a Quran so that you can follow along with me in class, because you are attending Islamic studies class every Wednesday from 3 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. with Imam Hassan Amin. You can also go to the masjid and ask questions about Islam, and they may be able to clarify for you better than myself about what Islam is and what Islam is not. And that will be okay to do. So you have been listening to myself, of course, your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin, and I'm so happy that you're listening to our program, which is Islamic Faith in Focus, and I pray that you return next week and come to class and bring a friend, bring a relative, bring others to come to class, or invite them to sit around the radio, like people used to sit around the radio before television and listen to the radio. I hope that you will do this for this program, for your class every week, every Wednesday from 3 o'clock to 3 p.m. to listen to this particular program with Islamic Faith in Focus. You'll better understand Islam and have a better understanding of the Muslim people. Again, I want to thank everyone for listening to Islamic Faith in Focus. I have been your host, Imam Hassan Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.